So what we've been talking about for the past several weeks is prayer. And specifically, what started this off in 2017, the BIC focus or theme is what if. So I thought, what if we prayed? What if we knew what prayer was? What if we knew how to pray? What if we knew when to pray? All those things. So what we've been doing the past several weeks, and we're going to do again today, is we're going to look and see what God's Word says about prayer. We're going to look at examples of prayer. And every time I preach this year, we're going to look at prayer in God's Word. Because I decided for you, that we are not going to settle for just a conversation with God. Okay? Now, I want to reiterate this point. Prayer should be a conversation with God. I mean, that's where we start. So, I am not saying, Preston, you distracted me. So, you know, I'm not saying we can't just talk to God. But we've settled for that. We've settled for just talking to God and not going any deeper. So what we've done is we've gone from a milky prayer life to a meaty prayer life. At least that's our goal. And if you were here 2 weeks ago, and there's more on the back table, we have a definition that we came up with on this sheet, which is in the back there. Prayer is confidently and boldly going to God with our requests, petitioning Him to empower us to fulfill His will here and now and in every situation. That's the definition we're working with in prayer. So last week, we looked at prayer, and really what's been happening for me, hopefully you guys are trying to apply these things we've been learning. And if you want to start, if you haven't been here and you want to start, grab one of these sheets in the back, and you can start applying these things to your prayer life. But I'll tell you what's been happening to me as I've read God's Word and tried to apply these in my prayer life is, man, it keeps coming back to the will of God. And I really feel like that's what God is trying to reveal to us through at least these couple of weeks, is that we have the ability to pray according to the will of God. And last week we looked at some physical, literal examples of people that are actually living out the revealed will of God, which is revealed through His book, the Bible. And the thing that last week we really needed to realize is that's where we need to start with prayer. We need to start with that. Start with praying what we know and has been revealed to us. And then that will allow us to then pray, and He will reveal to us in our prayers the perfect will of God. So I just keep going back every time I pray. It's like even a verse we're going to read today, it specifically says about the will of God. So I encourage you guys to keep thinking about that and attempt to pray according to the will of God. So we're learning about prayer. We've asked God to teach us to pray. So we're going to pray right now. We're going to ask Him the same thing we've been asking for 2 weeks, for Him to teach us to pray. So let's pray. God, we come before You humbly and expectantly, God. We know that Your Word is powerful, and we know that Your Spirit will teach us. And God, we ask now for wisdom and understanding about prayer, what Your Word says about prayer. God, we know that if we ask, we will receive according to Your will. And God, we are asking now that You would help us to develop a more powerful prayer life. In Jesus' name, amen. So you can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 6. I anticipated, when I looked at the announcement sheet, a small opportunity to speak to you today, because there's a lot going on. There is a lot going on. So I have 15 minutes to fit a 45-minute sermon in. So this should be interesting. Really what I wanted to do, and I thought I was going to get the opportunity to do, was talk about the different roles of the Trinity in prayer. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That just didn't happen. So what we're going to look at today a little bit is the role of the Spirit in our prayer life. And I've narrowed it down to one verse that we're going to concentrate on. And believe it or not, I've narrowed it down to 5 words that we're really going to concentrate on today. So Ephesians 6, starting in verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. All right? Now, the five words we're going to get to today. And pray in the Spirit. What's that mean? What in the world does that mean? How do we do it? Why do we have to do it? I shared this example first service at the end of service. You know, whenever I started digging into the Bible and reading about prayer, I had a few questions. And as I got those answered, I came up with more questions and more questions and more questions. And I felt like, I remember when I started fishing, I went out with a pole, you know, I went to the water, I had a bait, and I started fishing. And I thought, man, I want to get better at this. So I started asking questions. Well, how can I be better at this? So I started researching. Not in the Bible. I started researching, how can I get better at fishing? So I found this bait that works in every condition. So I bought it, and I tried it. It didn't work the way it said, so I thought, well, wait a minute now. It should work, so why didn't it work? Well, maybe because it's a hard bait, and I need a soft bait. So I started researching, what kind of soft bait should I get? What's the best soft bait to use? So I went out and tried it, and I thought, well, wait a minute. Now, the water conditions are cloudy. This is for clear. So should I get a different color? Should I get green pumpkin? Should I get purple flake? What do I need to really do well here? I want to catch these big fish. And I thought, well, what about water temperature? I mean, that affects fishing. So, man, the further I went, the more questions I had. But I'll tell you what. I can catch fish. Because I put in time and effort to figure out what I needed to do in what conditions. Because I asked all the questions and I found some answers. So I can catch fish in pretty much any condition. Spoiler alert, dynamite. All you need is a stick of dynamite. I did all that research, and all you have to do is light a stick of dynamite and throw it in an explosion, you just get all the fish you want. Now, go fish for men. I don't think that would work, would it? No, that's no good at all. Sorry about that. So the same thing's happening with me in prayer. You know, I keep getting more questions and more questions. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, how does this work? How does that work? But you know what? At the end of this year, I'm going to be able to pray. And I'm going to be able to pray effectively. And I hope the same for you guys. But what we have to do is we have to make sure that we're applying the things that we're learning from God's Word so that we can be more effective. Now, we started in verse 18. And the thing you got to remember about the Bible is the verses and the chapters came later. They weren't in the original manuscripts. All right, they were put in there so we can easily find something, we can reference something. So we started at verse 18, and the word is and. It doesn't even make sense. But a lot of us, what we do is we'll just read that, and we'll not even have the full context of what we're reading. We'll just read and pray in the Spirit. So and, I mean, that means that something ahead of that is connected to something before that. So go back to verse 10. A lot of us here, I'm sure, have heard sermons or have heard, studied the armor of God. And that is immediately preceding verse 18, talking about the armor of God. Verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Man, listen. You have to get this point today. Every once in a while, we come across a time when we absolutely have to be reminded what we're doing. We have to be reminded where our battle takes place. Because I'll tell you, we think that whenever we struggle with sin or temptation, that it's a physical thing. It happens here in the earthly realm. That's just the result of what we see and what we experience. Is the result from something going on beneath the surface, something that's going on in the spiritual realm. And right here, Paul is saying, listen, this, your battle is not in the physical earthly realm. That's not where it takes place. Your battle needs to take place at the root, in the spiritual realm. And then he goes through and he gives us the armor of God. And when we look at that, you know, it's great imagery because we can see somebody, a soldier, somebody, you know, ready for battle. But we can't leave it there because it's just imagery. It's just imagery. I mean, these are the things that we need to put on and we need to have so that we can fight in the spiritual. And then he gets to verse 18. And by the way, I love verse 17 when he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I love that he stopped there before he went on to prayer, because the last thing he talks about in that armor section is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, which is the Bible. That's our sword. And he goes right into prayer. He says, and pray in the Spirit. So the first thing that we have to recognize, the only way to be able to pray in the Spirit is to have the Spirit. We can't pray in the Spirit if we don't have it. I remember Jesus, if we read about it, I didn't write down the verse, it's in John 14 or 16. Jesus said, when I go, I will tell the Father to send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. Okay? He's going to send the Holy Spirit to dwell not just among us, but in us. All right? So going forward, in order to know how and why to pray in the Spirit, you have to recognize you have to have the Spirit in you. Now, if everybody has the Spirit in them in this room, we're doing a miserable job. Right? Because we should be witnessing to people. We should be inviting people to church at the very least. So there should be unbelievers in this room that don't have the Spirit. So for those of you that are sitting here, if you don't have the Spirit, the only way to experience and the fulfilled life that you were designed and created to have is to accept that free gift of that Spirit. And the way you do that is you respond to the gospel. And the gospel is that God sacrificed his own Son for us. And we have to accept him, accept his blood to cover us for our sin. And now Jesus stands in between us and God as our mediator. That's the gospel. But you have to actually believe it. You can't just say it. You can't just pray a prayer. You have to believe that that is true in your heart. And then the mistake I've made for so many years is I always thought, okay, the free gift is eternal life. I got the free gift of eternal life. I got the free gift of salvation. True. That stuff is true. But you also received something so much more important and powerful. You received, as a free gift, the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, which enables you to live out this revealed will, which enables you to experience the perfect will that God has for your life. It enables you to experience the fullness that God has created you to have in Him. If you want to read about that, by the way, it's Acts 2:38. Actually, I wrote it down. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So many times I just wanted my get out of hell free card. Sorry, Tina. And way too many of us settle for that. You know, we tell people, hey, all you got to do is pray this prayer, and you're good to go. You're not going to hell. Listen, if that's your motive for praying that prayer, you're going to hell. Because it's not just about, as a matter of fact, I've searched, and I'm not going to say it's not there, but I haven't seen it. I've searched for the sinner's prayer in the New Testament. Now, it's biblical, like that's the way you can lead somebody to salvation by reading that so they know those things. But you know, in the New Testament, it was, look, just repent and believe. Repent and believe. That is the thing that we need to tell people and make sure they understand. It's not about just saying a prayer. It's about actually repenting, changing your direction, and believing the gospel. And we can experience a life filled with the Holy Spirit. All right. So in order to pray in the Spirit, we have to have the Holy Spirit. Okay, what's it mean? What's that even mean, pray in the Spirit? What's it mean? I think it's very helpful for us to know what the Spirit's job is in our lives in order to know how to pray in the Spirit. So here's a couple things that the Spirit does for us. John 14:16. You can turn there. You don't have to. I'm not going to. You can look it up later. You can write it down. John 14:16. The Holy Spirit helps us and pleads our cause. That's what an advocate does. Jesus said, the Father will be sending the advocate to help us. John 14:26. The Holy Spirit teaches us and reminds us of what we've learned. That's pretty cool. I can't tell you how many things I've forgotten. I'll tell you, I stand up here a lot and all of a sudden something hits me, you know? And I mean, that's got to be the Holy Spirit reminding me of something that I learned and I didn't even think about. And that happens all throughout life. It reminds us of things we've learned. Convicts the world of sin. Oof. John 16:8. Guides into all truth. Remember last week we talked about asking for wisdom, right? We said, all we have to do is, if anybody lacks wisdom, all we have to do is ask God, and He will not hold back. He will give us wisdom, and wisdom abundantly. And the Holy Spirit enables us to understand that truth, understand that wisdom, and then apply it. 1 Corinthians 12:4, the Holy Spirit is a gift giver. There's a lot of spiritual gifts described in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He's a gift giver. And a lot of you are going to be familiar with Galatians 5, 22, fruit producer. He is a fruit producer. Galatians 5 is where we read about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit provides that to us and enables us to live in that. And what we have to understand, since we have the Holy Spirit in us, we are now able to achieve the revealed will. The Holy Spirit gives us power, and it enables us. But you got to remember, and I feel burdened this morning. I've felt it all morning. That we can very easily choose to subdue that spirit. Very easily. And too many times we do. So we have the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit makes us able to live this out. So we now apply that to praying in the Spirit. So what does that have to do with us praying? I think we apply the very same things with our living. We submit to the Spirit in our prayers. We allow the Spirit to give us power in our prayers. Because remember, we can't even pray that way if we don't have the Spirit first off. So the more that we live submitted to the Spirit, the more powerful our prayers can be. Because we're under alignment of Jesus Christ. We're in the correct position, like Dan and Tina. They are in the correct position because to experience the perfect will of God, because they've lived according to the Spirit. Same thing in our prayer life. If we are aligned correctly and we live according to the Spirit, we can pray according to the Spirit, and we will be empowered by the Spirit in our prayers. I know one of the things that keeps happening to me is I've discovered that, you know, we're supposed to pray without ceasing, pray all the time, and I've always been taught, and I think it's correct, that you pray in your car, you pray when you get, you know, 2 minutes prayer here, two minutes here, there, you know, 5 minutes there, everywhere. What I've discovered is, man, I got to have like, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes, 45 minutes blocked off specifically for prayer. Like where I don't have anything planned. Because what's happening is, as I pray, and I pray in the Spirit, there are things being revealed to me, whether it's just, okay, is this really in God's will? And it takes longer. Like my prayers are actually getting deeper. And if you're doing these things and applying these things, the same thing's happening to you. And you're going to discover that you can't just fit prayer in. You can't. I've heard it described, and I've never understood it till now, that prayer for a Christian is like breathing. And it is. It is. Because it's hard to go on. It's hard to go forward. When I'm not in prayer with God, and I don't allow His Spirit to guide my prayers. A lot of times we go with a list of things and we think, okay, this is how I'm gonna pray today. And we go down the list. Here we go. Blah, 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 blah. You know? And I'm not saying that's completely wrong, but what I'm saying is we push down the Spirit in our prayers because our goal is to check off this list. It's not to pray with the power that the Spirit enables us to pray with. There might be one thing laid on your heart to pray. That has happened to me more over the last month than I can describe, and that's what I pray about. We absolutely have to have a specific time set aside for prayer. And I think the more that we set up, if we set out 10 minutes, next month, we're going to be at a half hour. That's what I think. I really do. It is that important, and I'm experiencing it. I hope you guys are experiencing it. Go on over to Romans chapter 8. Starting in verse 26. This is pretty cool. 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know. Remember, we talked about one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit in our life is to help us, right? In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Whew. How many people have prayed? And they've been praying, and all of a sudden, like for me, I get hit with conviction or something, and I just don't know what to say. I just sit there with my eyes closed. I'm in prayer, but I'm not saying a word. You guys experience that? And the amazing thing is that the Holy Spirit, while we might not know, the Holy Spirit that is in us is interceding for us. He's our advocate at that time. We might not even understand what's happening or what's going on, but God does. Verse 27, and He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Man, that's good stuff. Huh? In accordance with the will of God. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons I've been so burdened today is because I just know of a few situations, and so I think back in my life, and I think, you know, when I begin to get separated from God, when I'm no longer abiding in the vine, the last thing I want to do is pray. The last thing I want to do is pray. Because I know if I pray that I know the Spirit's in me and the Spirit's going to convict me of what I'm doing, whatever it is. And I know two situations this morning. I didn't even know about one of them when I started. And I found out after first service. And somebody didn't even show up to church today because they're separating themselves from God. And his wife said, he doesn't even want to pray about it. I said, I know. I understand that. But we have to recognize, listen, it doesn't matter. God already knows what's going on. We're only faking ourselves out. One of the phrases that I heard this other individual say this week when I met with him was, God's sitting this one out. This is a Christian saying God is sitting this one out. No good. Do you think there is any power of the Spirit available to him if he says, God, you're sitting this one out? Listen, it doesn't matter. If we go to God, we might be clouded. The same individual told me, he said 2 weeks ago, I'm so clouded by my anger that I haven't even thought of these things you're saying. I was trying to speak some truth to him. He said, you know, I appreciate that because I've been just so clouded. Listen, whether you're clouded or not, go to God in prayer. Because that is where the Spirit of God can work with you, can work on you. And you still have to respond to it. You still have to allow it. We have to be praying in the Spirit. And a lot of times we don't want to go to God because we know that His answer is going to be different than our answer. Right? Yeah. Sometimes I don't want to pray because I'm like, oh God, I know. I know I shouldn't be buying this motorcycle, but I'm not even going to pray about it because I know the answer and I'm going to do it anyways. We're making ourselves in control. That's never good. Not good. Here's the thing. You know, and I know, and this right here tells us, if we go to God about a decision that we already know the answer to, and we're trying to convince him otherwise, the Holy Spirit is going to intercede. And the inner spirit, or the Spirit is only going to intercede in accordance with the will of God. So the only thing that needs to change in that situation is you and how much you're submitting to God and to the Holy Spirit. Why is it so important that we pray in the Spirit? Jude 1:20. Ooh. Jude 1:20. Why is it so important to pray in the Spirit? But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Why is it so important that we pray in the Holy Spirit? Because we keep ourselves in God's love. There's another good reason why sometimes we don't want to go to God when we know what the answer is going to be. We're not real worried about God's love at that time. All we're worried about is that thing, or that sin, or that temptation. That's what we want to focus on. Keep yourselves in God's love. Man. So the worst thing to do in these situations is not pray. Because right here we're told that if we pray, even if we don't want to pray, if we pray according to the Spirit, that's going to keep us in His love. That's going to bring us back. That's going to hold us. Right? And yet so many people, when they start falling and separating, they don't pray. They don't come to church. They separate themselves more. Satan loves it. That's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to take over God's Spirit within you. I remember in our small group a few weeks ago, we talked about whether we had a spirit within us before we had the Holy Spirit. You guys remember that one? Really hope I can find the verse. Let's see here. Ephesians 2:2. Oh, good. Ephesians. That's a good book, man. It's good. Got a lot of stuff in it. Let's just start at verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Ooh. Ooh. Did you all catch that? Did you catch that? If we don't, we talked about earlier, you need to have the Holy Spirit in order to pray in the Spirit, in order to accomplish this stuff, right? If you don't have that Spirit, you're not, JB said a few weeks ago, you're not just sitting on the fence. You're not, you're batting for the other team. Because the Spirit that has worked within you is Satan. Satan. And the further you get from God, the more Satan's going to think, I can get back in there. I can get back in there. Because guess what? Before we had the Holy Spirit, we had that. Go on. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts. I think of my dad right now, who's struggling with drinking, and he stopped it for a while. And he falls right back into it. He falls right back into it. And he's really struggling. You know? And he keeps telling me, he says, I just need the power to stop. I just need the willpower to stop drinking and I'll be okay. I said, you've already done that. I said, you stopped drinking with willpower. You've done it. You did it for a year. And you went back to it. Listen, many of us think we can accomplish this life, think we can accomplish in our prayers through willpower. Willpower will only get you so far. It will only get you so far. It'll be so easy to fall back into it, whatever that is. Right there. I fell back into it. I got so far with willpower. But I'll tell you, when I lost 50 pounds, I also had the fruit of the Spirit in me working, and I had self-control. But I became a little more separated and a little more separated. And then I relied on willpower, and guess what happened? That's right. Willpower cannot sustain you. God's power will sustain you. I told my dad, I said, you need to quit worrying about your willpower, and you need to start concentrating on who God is, building your relationship with Christ. That is what you need to do, because the closer you are to Christ, the less you're going to want to sin. Right? But we look at it through eyes of, well, I can do this. I can take care of this. No, you can't. All you need to do, Jesus has already done it. All you need to do is concentrate on your relationship with Him. Then you're not going to want to fall into temptation. You're going to want to glorify God with your life. And you have the ability through the power that He has made dwell in you, the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, every once in a while, we just have to have it hammered into our brains and our hearts and our souls and remember that we have available to us power. And that power is the Holy Spirit that God gave to us. The same power that rose Christ from the dead lives within you if you're a believer. And you can do this. You can do these things. It's not just a pipe dream. But we need to stop relying on ourselves and our willpower and start relying on His power and the truth of His word. And we need to start praying in the Spirit so that our prayers will have power and they will be answered. I think we're out of time. Oh, yeah. Oh, Hannah's not here this week, though, so she won't yell at me. No. Listen, guys, remember, if you've learned anything today, one, our fight is in the spiritual. Quit fighting it with the physical. Two, pray in the Spirit, and you will remain in God's love. Three, you have the Spirit if you're a Christian. If you truly believe, have repented, and you accept the gospel, you have that Spirit within you. Tap into that Spirit in your prayer life, and things are going to change. Let's pray. Lord, oftentimes we come here and we hear these things, we read these things, we believe these things. A lot of times we'll come here and listen to songs and respond based on emotion. And God, we have good intentions, but then we get out in what we see in the physical, in the world, and God, we struggle with applying the truth that we learned here today. And I pray that you would strengthen us with the Spirit that you have placed within us so that we can apply how to pray. We can apply the truths that were drawn from your word. And that we can pray in your Spirit so that your kingdom can come here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.